堂听 class.com。
在线英语听力室 ,tingroom.com, 欢迎您。
Oxford Supplementary Skills Series, Listening Advanced, by Jane Revell and Barry Breary. Cassette 1, Side 1. Unit 1, Section 1, Task 1.
Oh, I say, that looks delicious. One of my wife's specialities.
I heard something I picked up in Morocco. Could you pass that to Penelope, Ted?
You must give me the recipe.
Well, you really need one of these to do it properly.
What an amazing thing. I don't think I've seen one before. Have you, love?
Oh, they're super. I just had to buy one. Have I given you enough?I got it in the market in Casablanca, terribly cheap. The rice is just there. Oh, I hope you like brown rice. We don't eat white rice anymore. It was an awful thing to get back on the plane, of course, but it's been jolly useful. We use it all the time, don't we, darling? Oh, do come back for more.
I call it a tagine. The Moroccans use them all the time. Not the sort of thing you find in Woolworths, then. What about some wine? This is one we rather like.
Section 2, Tasks 1 and 4.
Good evening, it's so kind of you to have us here tonight. We didn't feel like coming, but one has to be polite. My word, you really do look well and younger every year.Feel I have to say that since that's why you asked me here. Dinner parties are perfectly super. Play your cards well and it's all fun and games. Dinner parties are perfectly super. Meet the right people and drop the right names. Your children have grown up so fast. They change each time we come. They look really intelligent. They're dumb. The little girl's just like her mum. The boy's just like his dad.If they keep growing up like this, things will be pretty bad. Dinner parties are perfectly super. Play your cards well and it's all fun and games. Dinner parties are perfectly super. Meet the right people and drop the right names. The cocodrilo was quite superb. It tasted like old hen. I'd never had your cheesecake and I don't want to again.I couldn't stand your homemade wine, so I left it in the cup. Could you pass me the recipe for your hot dog tree? So I can tear it up. Dinner parties are perfectly super. Play your cards well and it's all fun and games. Dinner parties are perfectly super. Meet the right people and drop the right names. Conversation really flowed. At least you never stopped.We couldn't get a word in, so quite soon our interest dropped. The evening was quite splendid, we've not laughed so much in years. I'm sorry, we really must go now. Thank God I'm bored to tears. Dinner parties are perfectly super, play your cards well and it's all fun and games. Dinner parties are perfectly super, meet the right people and drop the right names. Dinner parties are perfectly super, meet the right people and drop the right names.
Section 3, Task 2.
So how did you come to write that song, Rini?
Well, I wrote it a few years ago, after I'd been at a rather formal dinner party, sitting next to a crusty old stick, a lady I knew, and I thought this is going to be a bit of an effort. And I plucked up courage and started chatting to her about herself, and she said she'd been in Egypt and various things. And I was following the line of the conversation, and all of a sudden she stopped dead and looked at me and said, If you'd really like to know more about me, I shall write out my curriculum vitae for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was so rude after making that effort. I looked around and thought, well, what are other people talking about? And I realised that other people don't ask direct questions. It's one of the things, unwritten laws of social etiquette. You skirt the issue if you're trying to find out things, or you make polite niceties and nice noises at dinner parties, but you don't often say what your emotions are doing underneath.
Mm-hmm. Can I come back to something you said? You said something about people not asking direct questions, yeah? Why do you think that is?
I think it's partly fear that they feel that they themselves will be exposed if they're asked those questions, and there is some sense of losing face by showing too much of yourself. I think it might be a particularly British thing, because I was, for instance, in the USA with people I'd never met before, went to a very large dinner party, and within seconds people were telling me what their psychiatrist had said about them and their problems with a grocer and so on, things that nobody in England would open out and do, because there is a fear, there is a protective barrier, and a sense of inferiority for anybody who dares to disobey these social norms.
Mm-hmm. Meenie, when we talked about this song, I think once before, you mentioned something about the way people don't listen to one another, and that was one of the reasons that you had written the song. You were very concerned about this.
Certainly a lot of my songs are concerned with communication. I was initially very inspired by the works of Wesker and Pinter and Albee, and the way they show people talking past each other, through each other, at each other, but never really with each other. And this is something that in different ways I try to show in a lot of my songs. I even try and find the gulf between the third world, the developing world, and our own world, because some of the things people talk about there miss each other by miles. And we do this in our own, unless you're really close to people and you have a total trust, very often you say things as much to defend yourself as to listen to them. You're so concerned with the kind of impression you ought to be making that you fail to be listening to what's coming back to you from them.
Especially in that situation.
Very much so. And the more you know somebody, the more you relax and probably allow yourself to listen properly to them.
Mm-hmm.
That does demand a lot more energy and a lot more time. And some people are so engrossed and stressed by the daily energy of living that they simply haven't got time to make space for another person's being within them.
You mentioned your other songs just now. What sort of other things do you write about in your other songs?
Well, one of the other themes I'm very concerned about is the use of time. I wrote one, for instance, about the fact that you give people flowers long after they're gone, and when people are leaving a firm that they've been working for, you give them a drink and say, what a jolly good fellow, and so on. But at the time they were there, perhaps you'd never noticed them, never took the time again to listen to them properly. We always seem to be missing the mark as far as time goes. I hate the thought of time rushing past. I really want to live every single minute to the full. Some of the songs are expressing that, the fact that you never have anything but the second that you're living in, that when you're looking to the future or the past, that doesn't really exist at all. And yet a lot of us find it the hardest thing of all to coincide with a second that we're living in.
And, well, perhaps a final question. Why do you write songs at all? Why songs? Why not poetry or novels or something else?
It's something to do with a sense of rhythm. There's a terrifically enjoyable discipline about fitting into a nutshell your own thoughts. In a poem, you've got more freedom. You're not restricted by the music. But music itself is a wonderful art form, and it conveys emotion more directly than anything, to me anyway, more directly than painting, more directly than theatre or whatever. If I hear a piece of music, oh, that's it, instantly, in the heart. Mm. There's even music therapy and so on.
Right.
That shows that it can do this. If one can convey by one's own creativity a mood in another person through the music and then enhance it with a discipline of well-chosen words, then I think you've got a perfect portrait of an instant communication.
That's lovely. Well, I think it's a lovely song. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Jane.